This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. With the passing of Vermont's Clean Water Act last year, the state has made a serious commitment to tackle the pollution problems plaguing Lake Champlain. Part of that commitment is setting limits for how much polluted runoff can be allowed into the lake. But there have been some recent and major updates to the pollution data used to calculate just how much runoff the state needs to curb. This year, the state and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency used entirely new and significantly different data to calculate how much runoff the lake can safely handle, and the result is stricter pollution limits. And at a recent Vermont Journal of Environmental Law symposium at Vermont Law School, several of the state's leading experts came together to discuss what the new pollution limits mean for Vermont and how the state needs to respond. So joining us on the line now to discuss that conversation at Vermont Law School is Deb Markowitz, Secretary of the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources. Deb, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And David Mears, Director of the Law School's Environmental and Natural Resources Law Clinic. And David, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about these new pollution limits, or TMDLs. That stands for Total Maximum Daily Load. Using this new data, the state came up with some more stringent levels of how much phosphorus runoff each section of the lake can handle. And I'm curious about what this means now for reducing runoff. And does this give the law new teeth, in effect?
It really does. So as a practical matter, different parts of the lake are suffering from pollution from different sources. And one of the benefits of this new calculation is that it lets us really hone in on where we have to act. We know that agriculture is a big contributor, particularly in the northern part of the lake, in the southern part of the lake. We're going to be focusing a lot on agriculture. But, Mitch, as a practical matter, we have to be looking at agricultural pollution, stormwater runoff from urban and suburban landscapes. We've got to look at our roads. We've got to look at forestry. It's an all-hands-on-deck effort.
When it comes to trying to keep pollutants out of the lake, this isn't a situation where you can have like a watchman, you know, at the lake who's looking for somebody who's coming along in a truck and trying to dump a trash bag in there. This stuff seeps in from so many different sources. It's hard to pinpoint. How do you effectively police these kinds of laws to make sure the TMDL is being adhered to?
That's a great point, and it's the challenge of modern environmental policy is that so much of the kinds of pollution, and in this case the phosphorus runoff that we're experiencing, is from so many diffuse sources. So it requires changes of behavior. There is no way that any department, state, local, or federal, is going to be able to come in and police every activity on the landscape. So what it means is changing the way that we behave. In terms of the way we design and build our roads and our houses and our parking lots and driveways and the way we manage our farms, these are all things that we have to change our practices. And that requires the full cooperation of the engineering consulting community, of scientists, of business people, farmers, community leaders, road foremen. And so the programs that have been put in place by the state are actually really driving towards those changes in behavior, setting a set of standards and expectations and accountability measures. But ultimately, it's going to turn on the day-to-day decisions that people make when they're building the infrastructure that we all live on. And none of this is rocket science. Basically, the kinds of measures that we need to engage in are things that are fairly obvious. We need to make sure that more of the rainfall and snowmelt seeps into the ground, where it can flow into the ground and filter out the pollutants, as opposed to running down the street into storm drains and hitting our waterways. We have the technologies, the practices that are necessary to achieve that goal. It just takes a time and a concerted effort.
Deb Markowitz, you alluded to this, that agriculture is really a big problem. It's not the only problem, but it's a big part of this. And in fact, it makes up at least 40% of the phosphorus, as I understand it, from agricultural runoff. For a long time, it seemed kind of taboo in Vermont to talk about imposing stricter limits on agriculture. There's been some critique of the fact that the Agency of Natural Resources, your agency, doesn't have enforcement of these new rules, that it's the Ag Department that does, and some folks feel, well, they're too close to farmers. Is there some merit in that critique?
I would say that with this new law, with the new Clean Water Act and new restrictions coming out that are mandatory on farmers, time will tell whether or not the Department of Agriculture is the right enforcer. You know, if there's an efficiency in having the folks who are visiting the farms anyway, who are trusted by the farmers, be the ones to identify where there's recalcitrants so that they can bring actual enforcement action. One of the things that we discovered, though, in this process, Mitch, is that Vermont farmers get it. They really have an interest in clean water. And in fact, when they're doing things right, they're keeping nutrients in the soil. They don't want the nutrients to be running off the soil because this phosphorus is what helps their plants grow and be healthy. The key, though, is to reach out to so many of those small farmers who just haven't been hooked in, who really don't understand what the requirements are, what best practices are. And one of the things that you'll see that's different under this new clean water law than where we were in the past is that the accepted agricultural practices are turning into required agricultural practices, so that there will be an opportunity to enforce that's different than there was before.
One of the biggest problem areas in the lake is Missisquoi Bay. We hear about this, it seems, every summer, and this requires now a 64% reduction of phosphorus from the state. In addition to agriculture runoff, there's wastewater discharge problems in this area. What are some proposed fixes that have been discussed about Missisquoi Bay specifically?
The major source of pollution in the Missisquoi is really predominantly a runoff from farm fields, and that's been one of the most challenging and trickiest sets of pollution to address. And a farmer has a menu of choices that they might choose from on any given farm. Better ways to reduce the amount of pollution. It might be to use cover crops or to kind of plant grass in gully areas and to fence livestock out of stream banks. And, you know, while some farmers in places where there's not a big problem might be able to get away with just doing a handful of those things, up in the Missisquoi Basin, farmers are going to have to do, you know, in many cases, all of the above. And so there's a really thoughtful effort, I think, the Agency of Agriculture has put together in a proposal for how that could work. And I think that's probably the biggest single hope for the Missisquoi Bay in terms of improvement.
One of the things that we acknowledge is that there may well be some farms in this sub-watershed that really are just in the wrong place. All of the practices in the world aren't going to solve the problem just because of the way the water runs off the land in that particular area. And we've been in active conversations with our conservation community about whether or not those are farms that get bought out so that they get out of the kind of farm that involved having animals in any great number. This is also an example of an area of the lake that's just going to take time to heal. You know, it's a shallow part of the lake. It's had this historic agriculture use now for well over 100 years, and it really is loaded down with phosphorus. It's not going to change overnight, even if we stop the tap entirely. It's going to take many, many years, if not decades, for that part of the lake to heal itself. We have to get started, though. We've got to turn off the tap of the phosphorus so that it can begin the healing process. Regularly, people come to my office saying, you know, they have this invention that's going to take phosphorus out of the water. We can't even start thinking about that until we turn off the tap.
One more question for both of you. I'm so curious about this symposium that was recently held at Vermont Law School. I mean, there were a lot of experts on hand. I'm wondering if the mood afterwards or during was one of optimism. What was the sense from that symposium?
There was a coming together, not just of the scientists and the technical approach, looking really at nutrient pollution, where it's coming from, but also Vermonters really came together to say, we're going to solve this problem. We love our lake. We cannot let our jewel, the Lake Champlain, get this polluted. It's necessary for the future prosperity of the state of Vermont. And so I left feeling really optimistic. The TMDL is a tool. It's a tool to hold us accountable to goals. We have other tools. We've got the Clean Water Act that was passed. We've got increased fees and new positions. We've got the Clean Water Fund. But the biggest asset that we have is that Vermonters get it. They get that we've got to change the way we live on the landscape if we're going to live in an environment that remains pristine, that remains, you know, where we've got lakes that are swimmable, drinkable, fishable. We need to preserve this for our future generations. You know, at the end of the day, I left feeling very optimistic.
I came away, and I think most of the participants came away feeling like Vermont was really leading the pack. The purpose of the event, of the conference, was to create a national dialogue among experts who are working on these kinds of issues all across the country. The feedback I got from a lot of my colleagues around the country was really this, such a high level of surprise that Vermont has made the progress that we've made. And I do attribute it, as Secretary Markowitz said, to the Vermont spirit of people working together across communities, across sectors, businesses, farmers, developers, and environmental community folks, figuring out solutions and rolling up our sleeves and talking about how to get it done and not arguing in the courts about those issues.
David Mears is director of the Vermont Law School's Environmental and Natural Resources Law Clinic, and Deb Markowitz is the Secretary of Natural Resources for the state of Vermont. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.